You're listening to Wordslinger Podcast, episode 102, The Portable Life, with me, Kevin Tomlinson. This episode of the Wordslinger Podcast is brought to you by the audiobook edition of Coelho Medallion. You can find Coelho Medallion on Audible and use your Audible credit, or get Coelho Medallion for free when you go to audibletrial.com/wordslinger.
It's the Wordslinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand. Write your book. Redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Wordslinger.
Wordslinger.
Hey everybody, this is Kevin Tomlinson, the Wordslinger, and this is a very different episode. I think I've done at least one of these before where it's just going to be me. I have guests recorded and ready to go. There's no problem there. But with all the transition that Kara and I have had moving into the RV, and with the popularity of like the Facebook Live videos and that sort of thing, I thought I would take some time and just kind of cover what's going on so far, and give you an update on the RV life. That's something you've heard about. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you've heard me talk about this quite a bit, and I don't think I've ever done a full-on update, so that's what we're going to do now. So, to start, we are in the RV full-time now. It took about 2 years to get to this point. We started way back in, I believe, 2014. My wife comes in and says, how would you like to sell the house and move into an RV full time. She did it a little more enthusiastically than that, but she did come in, and you know, this is something that she and I had actually discussed as early as the first year or so of our marriage. I had brought up the idea, and she just did not like the idea. In fact, if I remember right, I think when I said, you know, we could, or I've always wanted to live in an RV full time and just travel, her exact words were, well, that sounds real attractive. And so I more or less kind of gave up hope on the idea. I didn't give up hope. I just figured that one day we would be old and gray and wrinkled and retired, and we would, you know, at that point get an RV and travel, and then come back to our home or whatever. So, but something interesting happened in the meantime. Between that time, which was 11 or so years ago now, just over 10 years ago, we'll say, because we just celebrated our 10th anniversary this year, so at the first of the year. So we're coming up on 11. But between then and now, between 2006 and 2016, we had a few things change. Not just for me and Kara, but for the world. Suddenly, there was this tiny house movement that took hold. People were getting into small homes, tiny homes, you know, 100 square feet in some cases, just the size of, you know, a closet. I mean, just ridiculous. But people were getting into these and enjoying a different kind of life, a more minimalistic life. And that was intriguing to us. Then, you know, the whole RV movement really started to kind of kick in. I mean, it's been around forever. There are organizations, there are people who have lived in RVs full time. You know, that's nothing new. But this movement of, you know, bloggers and video bloggers and people who are making their living around the topic of living in an RV full time, who are striking out. Technomadia is a good example. We're the Russos, who were on this show. I've had several people on this show who are centered on that RV lifestyle. And, you know, as that popularity grew, something changed for me and Kara. I mean, the concept changed. Because it went from being this idea of we would be crammed into this tiny little box with our lives and our cats and our, you know, all our same problems, everything would just transition to this tiny little box. It went from that to, let's go ahead and solve some of our problems. Let's do a little problem solving. Let's do a little investigating. Let's do a little planning. And let's see what life brings us and see if we can get ourselves down to a smaller footprint. Now, I'm going to say you know, we have a very large storage building that proves we have not reduced our footprint much. So we're still working on that part. We've done better. I've actually let go of a lot of things that I held on to for years, and there are still more to go. If we ever get some consecutive time in the Houston area, and we're not traveling out of it, you know, 8 to 12 hour days of driving and that sort of thing, then I think we'll be able to set aside the time to dip into that storage unit and clear it out. I think we'll be able to clear it out for the most part. I think we'll probably hold on to a few things. Her grandmother's furniture, for example, this is antique furniture that was left to her. I don't think she has any desire to get rid of that. I know she doesn't have any desire to get rid of that. And there are a few items in there that I will keep. I've got some of my tools and things like that are in there. I've got a comic book collection in there that I don't necessarily want to get rid of. Maybe I should consider that. I've tried to get rid of that before, and then as soon as I start going through it, I'm like, no. I love these too much. Sad part is I have not looked at most of those comics in years. I'm kind of holding out for a day when I've got a big studio space again, and the plan is to bring them all out and display them more. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Or maybe it's part of it, but we are, looking at that now, looking at what we have, and we started looking at it closer and saying, you know, we're actually sort of beholden to this stuff. So it would be nice to transition away from stuff. And I think we've done that. Now, the RV that we purchased, it's big. It's a 38-foot motor coach. It's a 2015 Thor Challenger. We bought it used. It had about 5,000 miles on it when we got it, so not a lot. Actually, was it 5,000? I think it was 5,000. May have been 7,000. There are a couple of things. Sorry, I don't have that exact number, but there are a couple of reasons why we've actually transitioned in and out of a couple of different RVs and vehicles over the past year. That's part of this story, by the way. So let me back up, because now we live in an expansive mansion compared to what we originally bought. So we sold our house in 2014. Okay, it took all year to sell. At that time, toward the end of 2014, we bought an A-liner pop-up camper. Very small. We were not going to live in this full-time. That was not the plan at all. But it was part of the plan to start getting us out and experiencing the RV world. Start getting into RV parks, traveling more. And we did. over the course of 2015, we moved into an apartment in November 2014. Celebrated Christmas there. In the intervening months, now I should report that in April or May, I believe it's May of yeah, it was May, May of last year, or May of 2014, I lost my cat Mia, which was devastating to me. But it also changed some of my perspective, and it was almost like her saying, "Go do this thing." I know that sounds weird, but I loved that cat very much, and it hurt very much to lose her, and it still hurts to think about it. Then we moved into this apartment. We had another cat named China. We lost her almost a year, almost exactly a year after losing Mia. And it was at that time that we were camping in the A-liner, and we decided we would get a full-on motor coach. We had already decided this. We were already looking. But we did manage to find the one that we wanted, the one we had originally found online and couldn't find in the real world, and we just sort of stumbled across it one day at a dealer, and the signs all pointed to yes. I mean, it just worked out. So now I actually kind of missed the little A-liner because it was very easy. It was quaint. I mean, it was kind of cool. And it was somewhat unique because whenever we pulled into these campgrounds, we were the only people who had one of these things. So, and we could camp practically anywhere in that. So it was cool, and I do kind of miss it. But and I used it to go to Smarter Artist Summit in 2015. I camped out in that and was able to take that. And it was shortly after that that we got the motor coach. So Oh, man. So much has changed. So we are in now the Thor Challenger 2015. It was slightly used, but it was in great shape. It was had relatively few miles on it. It was exactly the model we were looking for. And over the course of the year, we took it on a couple of, we took it on at least one really major trip. And then once we got back, we took it on smaller trips here and there. And that's how we discovered the joys of things like boondocking and, you know, camping out at Cracker Barrel and that sort of thing. So we discovered we could do that, and discovered we could run on generator power for like 3 days straight, and discovered all these little nifty cool things about the RV and RV life. And then we put it in for some maintenance, and it took 3 months for them to get it back to us. So we spent a quarter of the year without our soon-to-be home. So, and we learned a few lessons in that, too. So, and we get it back, and it's a lot of the things that were on our list to be repaired ended up not being repaired. We have windshield wipers that don't work. That's something we're working on now. We have a front fender that has come loose that just started flopping as we were driving. I had to patch that up with tape. I'm waiting on them to get me a new fender. It's things like that. Now, all that kind of makes it sound bad, but the truth is, I think for some major trips, we had relatively little go wrong. We had a couple of things that just nearly broke me, I'll be honest. When you're cruising along, you're exhausted from like driving 8 to 10 hours, 12 hours on some days, and you're just wore out, you're tired. Things literally break or go wrong every single time you get into the RV. Every time you stop somewhere, something has gone wrong. And it's usually minor, it's usually easy to fix, but there have been a couple of major things like the fender and the windshield wipers and things like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the gasket around our windshield comes loose. And I'll be honest, that was that was hard. It was just really hard. It's hard to explain this, but such a minor thing. If that had happened on any other vehicle, any other time in my life, I would have just patched it up until I could get to it to fix it for real, and moved on with life without a care in the world. But at that moment, it was utter despair for me. We were already running a little behind on our next destination. I was tired. I'd been driving at that point for 8 hours, and I'd been doing that for 3 days in a row, so it was exhausting, you know, and I don't like traveling like that. I want us to be able to take our time. Right now, we're kind of stuck. We have to do it that way, but that's just the way it is right now. Until Kara can be full-time on the road, which we're working on, we're going to have some grueling driving days, but the thing is, at that point, I just kind of lost it. I was depressed. I was, you know, my thoughts were, we've made a horrible mistake. we've moved our lives into this, because we moved into this full time on November 11th. That weekend, we went to an RV boot camp where I learned a lot. We were feeling pretty good about it. Couple of weeks later, of course, was Thanksgiving, and for the Thanksgiving holiday, we went to Naples, Florida, and that was a, you know, 3 day drive down and a 3 day drive back, with just a week in, sorry about coughing your ear, just a week in between of being able to rest and relax. And we didn't really get to rest and relax, honestly. I mean, because you know how it is when you're having family holiday time. It's go, go, go. I mean, there was a day in which we went and played golf all day, which was awesome. I haven't played golf in years, and I got to play a beautiful course in Naples, Florida. But, you know, the course marshal was riding us the whole time. We were claiming we were playing too slow. Turns out we weren't, by the way. But he kept riding us and kept pushing us. And so, you know, we were playing golf at breakneck speed. And so I'm sunburned, I'm exhausted, I'm dehydrated. And I'm frankly pissed off because, you know, I'm not a real big rule follower and don't like course marshals, but whatever. To the course marshals in the audience, I apologize. I like you guys just fine. I know why you're there. I respect, you know, what you do. I just, it was a little irritating that day. That's an aside, but the thing was, I was tired. And things just literally every time we stopped the RV, something else went wrong, you know. And I got really good at fixing things on the fly. I mean, one night when the fender came loose, it was at night. We were in the middle of nowhere. We were in like Mississippi, I think, and nowhere to stop. We couldn't pull over on his shoulder. It's starting to rain a little, and the windshield wipers don't work. They stopped working as soon as we left about halfway out of Texas. I managed to fix that, and I was in high spirits. It was a little daunting, but I talked myself through it. Like, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to be anxious or worried or afraid. You can do this. You're good at this. I can fix just about anything. If you give me the right, you know, materials and tools, I can fix just about anything. So, you know, I was confident and I was good with that. There's just so many unknowns when it comes to an RV. There's so many unknowns. There's like, you know, things that you learn as you go. I'll get into that in a minute. But the, you know, by this point, we've already had a couple of things happen. I managed to pull over and repair the fender with Gorilla tape. It was the only way I could do it. You can't tell by looking, by the way. I've got it taped in such a way you wouldn't even know unless you dug in, you know, underneath or something. But that was patched. That's just a patch job until we've got somebody to get us the new fender and we can get it repaired. Our ladder broke. That broke on a previous trip, but it was still broken. Hadn't been able to get that fixed yet. Windshield wipers weren't working. That was a big one. You know, I had all this stuff going wrong. So this incident, on our way back, and we were in, I believe we were in Florida still. Actually, no, I think we were, by that point, we were, I think we may have been in Louisiana. But, so we were fairly close, actually. The next day, we drove right on straight home. But, on this particular day, we're about 3 hours out from our destination for the night. This has happened. I've had to stop. I've gotten some bad advice on how to fix it, and I've gotten some mediocre advice on how to fix it. I basically end up patching it with tape again. This whole thing is being held together by tape and faith. And then I just lost it. Karen never noticed. I didn't do anything out loud. I didn't say anything out loud. But I just, a sense of dread and regret came over me. And I wanted to walk from the whole thing. I mean, if I could have driven it into a RV dealer and sold it right that day, I probably would have. I was just done, you know. But then an incredible thing happened. We were still 3 hours from our destination, but we came across a Cracker Barrel restaurant, and we knew we could stay at these. This one didn't have RV parking, but the manager told us we could just park behind the store in the I don't know what you call that, the alley behind the store. He said that it would be no problem, and so we did. And then we went inside. It was cold that day. It was in the 40s, so we're bundled up. We have Minnie with us, our dog. We had her with us in a backpack. We go into the restaurant, and as we're sitting there, and I'm feeling anxious and afraid. Oh, first, I should tell you, I took Minnie for a quick walk, and a bunch of redneck guys in a truck drove by and shouted things at us, which did not add to my self-confidence, I'll be honest, but I try to let that roll off of me. But we get in the restaurant and we're sitting there. It's cozy. It's warm. It's a familiar place, you know, because we've eaten in a lot of these now. Because our policy is if we're going to stay at one, we want to eat there at least once. And the waitress comes and, you know, she takes our order and she brings our food. I got on Facebook and I wrote that I was having a bad day. And I looked while we were sitting at the table, and all these comments had come in from all these people who listen to the show, who read my books, who follow me on Facebook, just flat out. And they were all encouraging. They didn't know what had happened, and they didn't care. All they cared about was telling me that they were there, that they cared about me, that they cared about me and Kara and Minnie, that they were praying for us, that they hoped we were doing well, they hoped everything worked out. They didn't know what the problem was. They didn't need to know. They just wanted to let me know that people were there for me. And I'm reading some of the comments. Sorry, I'm getting a little choked up. I'm sorry. I'm reading some of the comments, and the food comes, and I have a nice meal, and we're surrounded by good people. And we have a little conversation with the waitress, and you know, I make her laugh and smile. Kara and I have a nice conversation, and you know, we laugh and smile. And suddenly, everything was all right. I didn't want to sell the RV anymore. I didn't want to stop what we were doing. I didn't want to change life plans. I just wanted to get back. That's my neighbor starting his truck. Sorry about that. I have the window open because it's a beautiful day here. But I just wanted to get back to the RV after a nice meal, watch maybe a little TV, wind down a little, get some normal back in our lives, and turn in. And I did, and I had a good night's sleep. The next morning, I take Minnie out for her walk, and we got on the road. And we had breakfast, by the way, at Cracker Barrel, which also helped. But that was it. And the point of this, by the way, is that when we were going into this, I knew that there would be at least a few times when I would have that moment. Because that's what happens, especially when you're making a major life change. And this is a major life change for us, right? I mean, we've walked away from everything that was normal about our lives, and we've embraced change at every turn. You know, the amount of space we have to live in, the things we do to entertain ourselves in the evening had to change. The way we get on the internet had to change. You know, the way we use the internet had to change. So, I that's a lot to deal with at one time. And the interesting thing is, I asked for this. You know, now you know by now. I mean, I'm a Christian and I believe God. You know, is a guiding force in our life. In our lives, in my life in particular, I turned to God for that guidance, and I had asked, you know, there are things about my life I don't like, and you know, I want to change, you know, there's a scripture in Romans 2:12, I believe, that says, and I'm just going to paraphrase here, that it says, you know, that God can make you new by changing your thoughts. And there's a parallel to this in neuroscience. Our brains are plastic. Our brains are pliable. And the things we dwell upon most create neural pathways that become stronger and thicker over time. The more we dwell on something and the more we do something, our habits form actual literal pathways in our brain, right? So to change bad habits, we have to do a pattern interrupt. We have to stop the bad action and instead focus on the good action. And then eventually the good action has a strong enough cord in our brain that it becomes our default action. Okay? So we can atrophy old habits, bad habits, and we can build up new habits like muscle. And the point of that is, you know, change is painful. You know, if you want to change your body, you go and you kind of hurt yourself. You break your muscles down so that, you know, you tear them and rend them so that they can restitch themselves and become stronger and grow bigger. And that's what's happening in our lives right now. It's very uncomfortable. And so we're going to have these moments where things seem hopeless. Things seem, less than ideal at the very least. I mean, this is not the life we thought we would have sometimes, you know? It's not entirely working out the way we hoped it would work out. And when you say that, there's a note of despair in there, right? But the truth is, it's really good. Like, it's a really good thing. Like, if everything just worked out the way we thought it would, then what would be the point? We could have just sat home and told each other stories about this and you know, daydreamed about it. But instead, we're getting out there and we're living a life around it. And life can get messy, you know? Things go wrong in life. Left turns get taken instead of right turns. You know, the directions get all screwed up. And then, because of the adjustments you have to make when mistakes are made, when things go wrong, you discover a whole new way of thinking and a whole new way of living. You discover a new self. And that's the point. So when people ask me how things are going fantastic. Are there things going wrong? Absolutely. There are things going wrong. I've been trying to get the guys who are going to come out and repair the RV to get here since I finally had someone come look at the RV on Thursday last week. And I haven't had him come back to actually do the repairs. I can't get hold of him, right? And we're leaving on the 11th for Oklahoma City for at least a week. The draft to digital offices. And I'm going to spend a week there just working out of those offices. And we're going to do a Christmas party. And, you know, it's a good time of year to be there and connect with these guys. But we're going to be driving up with no windshield wipers, with a fender still hanging loose, with all kinds of other little problems. Everything that we came here with, we're leaving with. So that's not ideal. It's not what I want. But because of that, I've got this whole new range of experience to draw on, which impacts my work, which is the point. That's why we did this. My writing gets impacted by the life I live. And, you know, it impacts how I think, how I react to people. And I'm noticing changes in myself. I'm becoming much more patient, you know, for starters, much more tolerant of change. I was always pretty good with change, but now it's kind of like every day is a change, so you have to get adjusted. I'm thinking outside the box and finding new ways to do everything. And there are compromises to be made, and sometimes those compromises cause a little bit of static between me and Kara, and so I'm having to also learn how to deal with living with Kara in such close quarters with nowhere to escape, you know. And I'm going to say we're doing pretty damn good. I mean, we have our little tiffs, but on the whole, I'm going to say we actually fight less now that we're in close quarters than we did when we were in our, you know, 2,500 square foot home. To make of that what you will. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and I still get bouts of feeling a little weird about life, feeling like things aren't exactly the way I'd like them to be. But here's the deal: when things aren't exactly the way you want them to be, that's actually your opportunity to start doing something to bring about the change you want. So, you know, and this whole experience is all about change. So I'm coming to embrace that. I'm embracing the discomfort, embracing the suck, as Special Forces would say, Green Berets and those guys, the guys who train and kill themselves in order to be able to defend this country. There's that concept. I think it's the Navy SEALs actually who came up with that phrase, embrace the suck, which basically just means own the moment, own your responsibility and your part in things, and know that things are going to go wrong. Embrace it, accept it, and then fix it. Go forward. Do something. And that's the way we're having to live now. I mean, and I love it. I hate it at times. And Kara hates it at times. We can get a little negative at times. But we're learning how to not be negative and instead say, okay, how do we fix this? How do we make this better? What can we do better next time? You know? And that's really working out for us. So, anyway, RV lifestyle, I do recommend it. I mean, if you're interested in it at all, just know that it's a change. You can't take the life you have with you on the road. That's just not the way it works. And it took us a while to get around to this idea, because at first it was like, well, what are we going to do about high-speed internet? It's got to be identical to what we have. What are we going to do about cable TV or satellite TV? It's got to be identical to what we have. You know, what about the way we eat? What about the way we interact with each other? What about the experiences we have when we leave, if we want to go do this event or that event? You know, you're in a new place all the time. You're in a new environment. Go explore that environment. That's the point, right? Don't go looking for the same things that you did back home, quote unquote. Go look for the new things that you can experience. That's the point. So internet, for those of you interested in this, what we landed on is an internet solution. I looked at everything, okay? Satellite internet is bad, just a bad deal all around. I mean, in a pinch, you might consider getting it just because it's usable anywhere. So you, anywhere you are, you can get online, whether there's cell phone coverage or not. So that's the only reason I would get it, honestly. But it's slow. It's like, to me, at times, it's like dial-up slow. It's like a joke. It has bandwidth limitations, and it's expensive. And it's also a hassle, because every time you land anywhere, you got to go set up this dish and aim it, and it takes like an hour. So, not ideal. I would get that as a backup only. The solution I landed on, now, I should say, almost every RV park has Wi-Fi free, but it's usually not very good. The park we're in now, it's an RV resort, it's Advanced RV Resort in Pearland, Texas. We're going to be here through the 11th. But the service they have is decent. Like, we were even able to stream video on it and that sort of thing. But it falls in and out. And you constantly have to re-log in. And if you have devices that are connecting to the internet, such as Apple TV or, something along those lines. Well, the Apple TV, by the way, just does not connect to those services. If there's a login pop-up that you have to go through in order to connect to the internet, forget it with Apple TV. My advice there is get an Amazon Fire TV. That's what we're using. And we're able to do all these different services on that. But where we landed was I went and got a T-Mobile hotspot. And they have a deal where... Now, I got the package. It's like $65 a month for 14 gig. And that's actually... Sounds expensive, except they have a service built into it called Binge On. And there's a whole web page full of services and sites that you can stream content from, and it doesn't count against your bandwidth. So that's huge, because what that means is I get LTE speed streaming, okay, which is faster than satellite and faster than most other solutions. It's always on. It's basically a router, and I set it up with the same SSID and password as my old router, so I didn't even have to change anything on my devices. Everything just logged in. The 14 gig is anything. You can use it for anything. And in our case, we went ahead and I just kept the 14 gig, but I don't think we're going to need it. I think we could actually use less. But so the T-Mobile hotspot with Binge On allows us to actually stream and watch stuff online, which is what we wanted it for, but gives me enough data that I can do all the other things I do. Podcasting is covered, conference calls, if I want to do any video work at all. YouTube, by the way, is covered in the unlimited streaming. So I can actually... get on YouTube and watch stuff, but I can also upload my content to YouTube, which I haven't really done much yet, but I'm getting there. So, all that said, we are we're enjoying that. That's been a good solution. That's not going to work everywhere. So I have Verizon for our cell phones, and we can hotspot from that. And I have T-Mobile, so we're covered in those two areas. I'm thinking about getting an AT&T hotspot, so that I'm just covered all around. Or I may get something else entirely. I'm not sure. There are services out there where you can buy a prepaid hotspot and get like, I think it's 100 gig for $10. Or maybe it's 10 gig for $100. Might be. I don't know. I don't know. But it's all prepaid. So I may get something like that as a backup too. But for the most part, I think we've got the internet question essentially solved for us with this device. We are currently in the Houston, Texas area. It's like right now it's 47 degrees outside. When I woke up this morning, it was 37. So it's cold, right? So we've been running heaters. I could run the central heat, which runs on propane. But then I got to worry about that. It uses propane at a phenomenal level. But since we're plugged into shore power, I can actually run... We have a fireplace, an electric fireplace with like these faux flames that look remarkably real, by the way. But it also has a heater mode. So that actually keeps the most of the RV pretty warm. And then we have a small space heater we bought way back when we had an A-liner. We keep that in the bedroom. So if it gets a little chilly, we can run that. Just to let you know, it's like 78 degrees in this RV right now, which is about 8 degrees higher than I really want it to be, but it is toasty warm. Once I'm done with this podcast, I'll actually kick on, I have a vent fan, a Fantastifan, by the way, that's in the ceiling, and I'll kick that on, and what that does is circulate the air and brings in a little bit of cool air from outside, and this will drop down to about 73 degrees in here and be nice and comfortable. I've got a window kind of open right to my knee right now at the breakfast table, and that's helping. You just heard the heater in the bedroom kick off, so it's a little tricky, but we are actually working things out very nicely. The whole place, by the way, is decorated for Christmas. It's actually quite cool. We're still working on vehicles for when we travel someplace. I got a rack for the scooter, the Vespa. But the ramp that came with it is too short, so I can't get the Vespa on the rack. So right now I'm having to leave the scooter in various places when we travel and only have it when I come back. That's not good. I need to fix that. And we don't have a way to tow the car yet. So, and I'm not comfortable with the idea just yet. I'm going to get comfortable with it. The only way to get comfortable is just do it. So I'm just not looking forward to it. So we need to get a small trailer. Maybe we'll rent a U-Haul trailer or something for the car. But for the most part, wherever we go, we basically have to rent a car or use Uber right now, which I don't actually mind. I mean, renting a car wouldn't bother me at all. It's just an extra expense, but I think it's fine. Whatever. We've actually already decided that we want to resolve this problem by moving into a fifth wheel trailer, which would take care of having a mode of transportation, because we'd be getting there in that mode of transportation. But we also kind of think that the layout and the footprint of the fifth wheels is a little more home-like, a little more house-like, a little more comfortable. So we're looking at that. We don't know when that'll happen, but that's kind of a goal we're going to work toward. Right now, though, I'll say the motor coach has been great. It's been a great home. We're very comfortable in it. We're a little disheartened by the things that go wrong. Kara can be a little bit of a fatalist when it comes to this stuff, and which is unusual for her. I mean, she's usually the most positive of the two of us. But when it comes to, like, little things going wrong, the fact that something broke literally every time we stopped the RV, you know, that she tends to skew negative with that kind of thing. So something she's having to adjust to. Anyway, other than that, I mean, the stuff that's not working, most of it can be ignored. The satellite dish, the device that aims our satellite dish doesn't work. Stopped working after the first time we used it. And I haven't been able to get it replaced because we were traveling at the time. And now it's just part of the warranty issues. And I got to wait for that guy to get back to me, you know. And that's probably the biggest challenge, is the stuff that I can't fix myself, I have to wait on someone else to get to. And they're this place that we used, Holiday World, the place that we bought this from, that we have our warranty through, we're not allowed to take it anywhere else if we're within 100 miles of that place. We can only take it to them, which has been frustrating, and have warranty repairs done. But they just disappear. They won't reply to emails. They won't call me back. They won't even answer the phone sometimes. So that's been a challenge. But again, all these things, all these challenges, that's part of what we signed up for. So, you know, we're coming to grips with it, and we're making peace with it. So, anyway, I know this has been about 40 minutes of me just rambling about the RV, and I hope it's useful to you in some way. I can answer specific questions about the RV and about RV life. We are just getting started in this, though. So just be prepared. We're not quite at a place where, you know, I'm going to be able to be an expert yet. I think I'm already an expert on certain aspects. So I could tell you about the toilet clogging if you'd like. It actually wasn't that bad, but for some reason the toilet paper was not dissolving and was getting caught up in the drain, and I kept having to use what I now call my poo stick maybe I should call it a poo cue. I can't pronounce it very well, so I won't do that. I had to clear it physically, manually, we'll say. But it just kept doing it. And then I discovered a trick. And this trick works. I read it from someone online. It does work. And so I'm going to pass it on to you as RV wisdom. But boil some water and pour it down the drain into the clog. And it will clear that clog. And it did it right off. It dissolved all that tissue paper and cleared everything out. It wasn't the most pleasant smelling thing in the world, but I ran the little vent fan in there for a while, and I did a whole system flush and everything, and everything worked out fine. So that's the gross part of this, but it worked just fine. Anyway, if you have questions about RV life at all, about anything, call me at 281-809-WORD. That's 281-809-9673. And just ask me whatever you like. You can also go on wordslingerpodcast.com and leave a voicemail from the little orange tab that says send voicemail. It's on the right-hand side of the screen. Or you can hit the contact button there and you can actually email me. Ask me anything, say anything you like. I'm looking for all of it. If you want to help the show, I would appreciate it if you would go to iTunes, search for Wordslinger Podcast, and leave a review of the show. Those are very helpful to me, and they help others discover the show. And the show is designed around the idea of telling stories about the people that I meet, the people I connect with, sometimes about myself, that are both inspiring and informative. And that's the idea. So go check that out. Leave me a review. I would really appreciate it. On the other side of this, I have a web launch I want to tell you about. Now, I'm going to confess to you that most of the pages on this site have placeholder copy. They are not yet ready for prime time. But I have discovered about myself that if I'm going to do anything, I've got to jump in with both feet. Now, there will be an updated blog. I'm going to write another post very soon. The original post was written on January 9th, 2016. And it's our Hello World post. It's our mission statement. It has photos of me and Kara in what was our RV at the time, which is the A-liner. And that's what I was describing. I haven't updated it since then. And the reason is we've been busy kind of trying to pull this all together, and now we're getting there. So if you go to the site, it's a little light on the kind of content that I expect to be there soon. But that's going to get better. I promise you that. go check it out and let me know what you think of the overall design of any new content that comes up. And you can actually sign up on the mailing list from there. On just click join the list, and that'll get you on the mailing list for Portable Life. So as things progress and there are updates and that sort of thing, you'll be able to hear about that first. I'm going to connect things like some of my books, mostly nonfiction stuff, but if you would like to see fiction brought into this, just let me know. But my books and probably books from some other authors that I am connected to will be available on the Media Center, where you'll also be able to hear podcasts like this one and any others that I think will be useful for the Portable Life concept. And I will have video. I've been recording Facebook Live videos, and I'm considering putting those on YouTube to see what the response would be, what the reaction would be. But I don't know if they'll work because they're kind of very conversational. But whatever, we'll play this by ear, and we'll evolve as we go. That's kind of what my life is now. So if there's anything you'd like to see, a topic you'd like covered, or anything useful you'd like to see me bring out on the site, you let me know, and we'll work on doing that. Until then, I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up. Thanks so much for listening through this whole thing. It was kind of me just getting some of this off my chest, I guess, some of the feelings about it. But I also want to make sure you're updated on where we are. And there's a lot more like practical stuff I could probably talk about in the future. I may just start covering some of that kind of thing in videos, though, so that you can see that, and it's good video topics. And I'll, Wordslinger podcast is generally an interview format show anyway. It works better that way. So thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. God bless you. As we move into the Christmas season, Merry Christmas to you. And I hope that, you are safe. I hope that you and your family have a wonderful holiday. If I don't get a chance to talk to you between now and then, very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. There is a possibility that there won't be a Wordslinger podcast for the next few weeks just because of all the holiday shenanigans. But I'm going to try really hard to get at least one episode up between now and the end of the year. I've got several recorded, or several interviews recorded. I just need to do the production side. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week or soon-ish. Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless.
Wordslinger.